You're a wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Prisoner of Azkaban with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 13, Gryffindor versus Ravenclaw. We have on a special guest, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. Dun, dun, dun. It's the 13th.
Michael's still winning, and it's the worst.
It's the 13th what do you say?
The rendition?
13th edition is probably what I wanted to say.
Edition, rendition. 13th rendition, edition.
Of the Quidditch Cup.
The 13th installment.
Installment would work. Installment. That would be a word.
Yep.
Volume, 13th try, 13th round.
It is everyone's favorite segment where
Lucky 13.
Where we quiz each other for points. And we're going to quiz each other right now. And I'm going to do the first quiz. So who's excited for that?
Anybody? No one's excited, Michael. Just do it.
I've been the worst at this. So
Jaya, I believe in you. You're definitely the smartest one here.
But Jaya, I was, what? Wait, are you? What are you saying, Michael?
I'm saying for the rest of the episode.
She's an attorney. That's another word for lawyer.
That's also another word for like literally anyone can be an attorney.
Cool.
You just have to be willing.
I don't think that's true.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Who are the two people that actually like divination? I'm gonna give it to Vijaya.
Is this a pity thing? Parvati and Lavender Brown.
Okay, you are correct.
Yay!
Padma, no.
Everybody is saying the Sarah won that, so sorry. It's the same person said Sarah won it several times. So
I feel like Vijaya might have actually won that.
I thought I heard Vijaya's first. But anyway.
There is a delay. So
there is, and like it to me it sounded like Vijaya won that one, I will say.
Oh well, if you heard her first, then she definitely won.
Okay, you got it.
Ready? This is a pretty I don't want to ask this question. Maybe Michael is gonna know this. What did Malfoy do to keep Harry from getting the snitch during the Gryffindor Slytherin match? Yes?
He held on to his broomstick.
Yeah, broomtail, but basically the same thing. Yep.
Well, he held on to the back of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Lee Jordan was like, that's cheating. And then even McGonagall was like, I'm wagging my finger at you.
Yeah.
I want an invisible point because I need that one.
So I have like 3 to 4 invisible points at this point, so I'm still winning on invisible points. Oh man, it should be like the dark web. We have our like invisible points web.
Okay, I'm winning on
the invisible points web.
A couple of people heard me first, so there's.
Yeah, no, I believe you. I think that you were
no,
first.
No. I wasn't saying it because I didn't think you believed me.
Okay.
It was actually just one person who said that Sarah's first, but they said it 16 times.
Well, that's all that matters. It's about who votes how many times. Okay.
Just an update on Kobe. Kobe is busy licking himself everywhere right now.
Oh, Kobe, that's good for you.
Go to town, Kobe.
Oh, no, don't do not. Okay. Sarah.
Yes, is it my Sarah's turn? Yes, Sarah's turn.
Okay. What is the name of the creature that is a water dweller that looks like a scaly monkey?
Bah!
Vijaya.
I might have this wrong. Grindylow.
That is wrong.
Ah, shit. Fuck. It's the other one.
Kappus.
Yes, it is Kappus.
We all got a point.
As soon as I rung in, I was like, wait, is it this one or is it this one? And I was like, making a choice.
You gotta do it. It's hard. It's hard. It's very hard. It's
the thing about that looks like, did you say monkeys?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the point. I was like, I don't think, because Grindylows have, yeah. That was a bad choice on my part.
We've got Michael with 12 points, Sarah with 10, and Bajaya has got 8. It is anyone's game.
It is pretty close.
It is not.
And where are we right now?
It is week 13.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah, there's plenty of time for any of us to still win.
Chapter 13, Gryffindor versus Ravenclaw. I hope Ravenclaw wins, personally. Well, you know how that whole thing went down with Ron and Hermione about, like, Ron finding blood on his sheets and ginger hair? Well, Ron and Hermione are, like, real fucking mad at each other. Like, friendship ending mad.
It's pretty bleak. It is bleak.
So Ron is mad because Hermione never took Crookshanks being out to get Scabber seriously.
That's fair.
Okay, well, let's just wait before casting thrones.
Don't cast the thrones this on me, okay?
On iTunes now.
And then Hermione maintains that Ron doesn't have proof that Crookshanks really ate Scabbers. Like, he could have gone anywhere, and the ginger hairs that he found on the bed could have been there for, like, weeks, which is also true. But my high-pitched voice there makes it clear that it's suspicious. Harry also thinks that Crookshanks probably ate Scabbers, and he foolishly tries to tell Hermione this, which I don't know why he would do that. Like, when your best two friends are fighting, don't take sides, maybe? And Hermione just like, I knew you would take Ron's side, blah, blah, blah. So she gets mad at him. And Fred and George also try to make Ron feel better about Scabbers' death, in quotations, but they do it by telling him that Scabbers didn't really do a whole lot, and, you know, like, Crookshanks eating him probably went down in one swallow, so...
It probably, like, put him on his misery. Wasn't he, like, on all this rat tonic and crap?
Yeah. Come on, you know? Yeah, so they're like, he probably went down in one swallow. He probably didn't even feel anything. And Ron's like, oh, no. So, to make Ron feel better, Harry's like, well, come on down to the Quidditch pitch. Not the Quizzitch pitch, the Quidditch pitch, and to watch the Gryffindors practice and see the Firebolt in action, since they have it back now. Hooray! Woo-hoo. So Madame Hooch is overseeing their practice because, you know, Sirius Black is around and the Dementors are there or whatever. And she is, like, so impressed with the broomstick. She's like, yeah, of course, this is, like, obviously the best broomstick around right now. And Wood has also found out that Cho Chang will be playing Seeker against them in their next match against Ravenclaw.
Oh, Cho Chang. Oh,
so when Harry tries out the Firebolt, it's totally clear that it's an exceptional broom, like, far surpasses all the other brooms the other teams have.
Not like the Nimbus 2001, stupid Malfoy has, like, actually, that stupid broom.
Yeah, it actually outstrips the Nimbus 2001. The two team is super pumped about it and their chances because of that one broom. So the rest of the team has, like, different brooms, but because of the Firebolt, they're like, yeah, we're gonna win this shit. So the rest of the team leave, and Ron and Harry stay back so Ron can have a go at the Firebolt. And Madame Hooch has fallen asleep at this point. And so they keep going into the nightfall, but then Madame Hooch finally wakes up and is super pissed that they did not wake her up since it's nightfall and it's dangerous out because Sirius Black and everything. So on their way back to the castle,
Harry sees a pair of eyes peering at him out of the darkness.
Oh no, Spoopy.
He's so spoopy. He's concerned because he thinks that it's the Grim. And so he uses Lumos. Lumos to see what it is. And it's just Crookshanks. And Ron's like, get the fuck out of here, Crookshanks. You ate my rat that never did anything. So the next morning, he goes down to breakfast with the Firebolt. And the Gryffindors feel like the Firebolt needs a guard getting down to breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And when it finally gets down to the Great Hall, the Slytherins are like, what the fuck? They have a fucking Firebolt! They're Thunderstruck. Everybody is excited about the match. Well, the Gryffindors are excited about the match. Probably the Hufflepuffs. Not the Slytherins or the Ravenclaws. Well, the Ravenclaws. And even even Percy bet 10 galleons with his girlfriend Penelope. Even though he doesn't have 10 galleons to bet. Which would be a good Quizzitch question.
That'd be a great Quizzitch question.
I know. So
probably it'd be really hard to get, though.
Malfoy comes over and is being really shitty to Harry. And Harry's like, well, because he's like, oh, you know, whatever. And Harry's like, oh, too bad you don't have an extra arm so you could actually catch a snitch, dick. Well, he doesn't say that, but you get there.
He thinks it.
Yeah. So it's time for the match. But one thing that Harry thinks about is he wonders if Lupin is in the stands watching the game.
Well, I was going to say, he wonders if Cho Chang is totally about that broomstick. Apparently not. Apparently it's about Lupin. Fine.
He's thinking about Lupin instead, which I thought was a little creepy. Come on, Harry, stop thinking about your teacher before a really important match. So Cho Chang is the Ravenclaw Seeker. She is a head shorter than Harry. And when she looks over and smiles at him, he has a really weird feeling in his pee-pee.
My special purpose.
The book doesn't say his pee-pee. It says his stomach, but I
liked your interpretation. Yeah. I was going to go there, but you went there before I could go there. Yeah. So.
Way before. So the match starts. So it's very clear that the Firebolt is a superior broom. Lee Jordan is basically doing an advertisement for it as an announcer because he's like, oh, look how fast it's going. It turns it, whatever. Cho Chang is a pretty good flyer, though, even on whatever the broom she was flying on. But Harry's like, oh, you want some of this? So he just accelerates and beats her. He does see the snitch and races towards it, but a bludger from the Ravenclaw side makes him veer off course and he loses sight. But then just as Ravenclaws were scoring more goals to catch up to the Gryffindors, because the Gryffindors are leading at this point, Harry sees a snitch again, but Cho blocks his way. And Wood was like, stop being a fucking gentleman. Just knock her out of the way next time. But Harry's like, but I like her.
I want a date. He knows how to get a date with the girl.
So at this point, Cho, instead of like watching for the snitch, she thinks that it's a better strategy to watch him, to like mark him and block him instead of actually going to find the snitch.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong. So he's like, oh, you want to play this game, though? So he, like, will accelerate and dive down and then pull up. And she follows him. But then he's pulling off from one of his dives when he sees the snitch again. So he's racing towards it. And Cho's like, oh, no. Oh, my God. And he sees three Dementors.
Ah.
Right? He doesn't even think. He just whips his fucking wand out and yells, Expecto Patronum! And something silver and white, and enormous, silvery white, and enormous, erupts from his wand and charges at the Dementors. But the difference is, he doesn't feel like he's gonna pass out. He doesn't hear voices. Actually, it's like his mind is totally clear, and he keeps his mind on the snitch, and he catches it. And Gryffindors win!
Woo!
So, it's really weird that the Dementors didn't affect him at all. And when Lupin comes over to congratulate him after the game, after the match, he's like, oh, yeah, so I, like, used the Patronus on them, but it's really weird because they didn't affect me at all. He's like, yeah, Lupin's like, yeah, because they weren't Dementors.
What?
So, he seals Malfoy and fellow Slytherins in a pile with McGonagall over top of them, just being like, you're gonna be in detention, blah, blah. So they're in a lot of trouble. So they're just dressed up as Dementors.
That was bastards.
That's a dick move. That's real low.
So the Weasley twins are like, let's go to the Gryffindor Tower. We're gonna have a party. We're gonna celebrate. We're gonna get food from the kitchens because thanks to the Marauders map. But guess who's not joining still?
Dumbledore?
Hermione. Because she has a lot to study because she's obviously taking more classes. But also,
they were kind of jerks to her, and they have been.
Yeah, both of them have been, but Ron is more because he's still being... Ron is always does not know when to let it go. So Ron is still being a dick and being like, oh, if a Scabbers was here, he would have loved to eat this one snack. Like, shut up. Maybe let it go.
He wasn't that cool. You didn't even like him that much.
Yeah, you didn't even like him that much.
You tried to turn him yellow.
Yeah. To make him cooler. And he tried to make him, I don't know, cooler by taking him to the menagerie, magical menagerie. So the party they're having ends at 1 a.m. Because McGonagall's like, okay, cool. You are happy that you won, but it's 1 a.m. You have to go to sleep. So they all go to sleep. Harry's having this weird-ass dream about going through a forest with his firebolt. And then he gets chased, or he hears hooves or something. And he keeps hearing it. It gets faster and faster. And then he wakes up. He turns a corner and he wakes up. And then it's just, he hears movement in his room. He wakes up with a start and hears movement in their room. And then he thinks he heard a dorm door shut. So he gets out of bed. And then he sees Dean light up a lamp. And then
A light up a what?
A light up a doobie. Okay. They're about to get really high.
What a good night. Okay.
Dean lights up a lamp and Ron is sitting straight up in his bed looking super fucking terrified. And he's like, Sirius Black was just in this room with a fucking knife. Well, he doesn't say literally that, but he's like, Sirius Black was in this room with a knife.
He probably said those words, but they were censored for the book because that's what I would say.
That's true. Dean is like, come on, dude. No, he wasn't. You were having a nightmare. And Ron is like, no, Sirius Black was here. He slashed my curtains. And Dean is like, no, you were having a dream. And then Ron's like, okay, but what about these curtains? And the curtains were definitely slashed.
Hmm.
So the hullabaloo spreads, and soon enough, like, the rest of the boys' dorms are waking up, and the girls' dorms are waking up, and Percy wakes up, and Percy's like, what the fuck is going on? You're gonna wake up McGonagall soon. And Ron's like, well, Sirius Black was here, and Percy's like, no, you had a terrible nightmare. And Ron's like, no, this is exactly what happened. And then McGonagall finally wakes up, and McGonagall's like, I understand that you all won a fucking match, but go the fuck to sleep. And Percy's like, my little brother had a nightmare. And Ron's like, it's not a nightmare. He was here. And McGonagall's like, yeah, I don't really believe you. And then Ron's like, you know what? Okay. Why don't you ask Sir Cadogan, who is the portrait to the Gryffindor Tower now, because the fat lady is still
boycotting.
Yeah. Still scared. So he's like, why don't you ask him? Because he would have had to come through there. And Sir Cadogan's like, yeah, I sure did let him in because he had a piece of paper with a week's worth of passwords.
God dang it, Neville.
I didn't say who it was yet.
But he talked about how he lost his passwords earlier. I put two and two together. Yeah. Are we going to open champagne for me? Sorry, guys.
You are not Harry. Sorry. So McGonagall's obviously.
Don't be sorry. Like, I'm glad I'm not Harry.
She is, like, so mad. She's... I imagine that she did the thing where she's, like, really quiet, but she sounds really mad and disappointed. She's less like, who left their password out for the whole week for anyone to find out? And
that's Neville, like when you know your mom is mad.
Yeah. And Neville slowly raises his hand, and that's when the chapter ended.
Neville.
So...
Okay, but... But here's the thing, though. It's like, I can't remember a single password to any of my online logins. I am the Miss I forgot my password / username because I don't even remember my usernames to everything. And you can't do that when it's a portrait in real life where you can't get in. Like, if I didn't have an actual key to my apartment, I wouldn't be able to get in my apartment half the time. I don't blame poor Neville.
That's why you have to do different passwords that are... The same password, but different
variations. Yeah, but actually, after like three tries, you get locked out.
No, different variations.
Yeah,
I use one password. It stores all my passwords for me.
Yeah, and if that's what Neville did on parchment paper, and then he lost it.
Well, you don't like carry it around you and then just forget it on the...
Well, theoretically, if you have one password, you're carrying it probably on your iPhone.
Then what if you forget your iPhone somewhere and you lose it?
Well, but you have to have the password to one password.
Everything is the worst. There's only one password. The world is the worst. Passwords are terrible.
So my password is a thing that nobody would ever suspect of me, so it's good.
I know what it is.
It's not anything you know.
Poppers, 1, 2, 3, exclamation point.
Oh my god, how did you crack it?
Unhackable.
I love Poppers, 1, 2, 3. Oh, look. When I said that, Kobe got up.
That means
it's
true.
But it's not you, though.
No, but I'm just saying, like, that's hard. Passwords are hard to keep straight. I don't blame Neville. And they change them often. I would be
Sarah, for that. Every other person can handle it. Why
except for
Neville?
Me. That's okay. So me.
So you are the Neville of the situation is what you're saying.
This is true. I acknowledge this 100%. When I lost my phone, my whole world came crashing down.
That sounds terrifying.
So the new things, I don't have any Pottermore things. I really tried hard because I love Pottermore. The new things are just the Firebolt finally in action, which it was really fast, and it turned at any like a very slight touch, and Cho Chang, who is a Ravenclaw, and supports the Tutsil Tornadoes, is her Quidditch team.
Nice. Yeah. I wonder. Okay, come along on this journey with me.
I'm on this journey with you.
So Sirius Black has a knife, right?
I guess. Apparently.
Is it his special magic knife? Because you know he has a special magic knife, right? That he gives to Harry that can unlock any lock,
any door. Yeah, later.
Like why does he even need the passwords? He should just use this magic knife.
Because there's no lock. There's no lock, so you can't unlock a lock that's not there.
You don't think there's a lock?
No, I think that it's a password where a portrait is, which is why he slashed it before. So now he has a password. So you can just also why would you pick a lock if you had the key, Michael?
I'm just trying to fill time.
I think that's a different ways of like getting into their common rooms. Like one has a password, one has a riddle.
Juan? Who's Juan?
Oh no. One.
Sorry.
That was a terrible joke, and I hate it.
I don't know why I did that. I apologize.
It's the worst.
If it's gonna be a pain in the butt to get into a place, and like I have to like pick a lock, and like it might not work, and people might see me, or I could just say one word and it would let me in. I'm gonna do the one word.
You should just pick all your favorite candies, and that can be your new, your passwords.
But like I wouldn't Dumbledore. Even remember that.
Can you imagine if you, like, just wanted to go to Dumbledore's office and just stood there for, like, 40 minutes and just said
lemon drop,
every candy.
Hot tamale, Mars bars, every Symphony, candy. Almond Joy, Mounds, Kit Kat, Milky Way. I can go on for a long time.
Doesn't Harry do that once and it ends up being, like, cockroach clusters or something?
Yeah, it was lemon sherbet at one point.
Yeah, well, also lemon drop is one.
Lemon drop, maybe not lemon sherbet.
Acid pops, which are not good for your tongue.
No, but there was some about cockroach clusters, and I don't know if it was legitimate or if he was just like, "Har har, I'm so funny." Unhackable. Mm. Hashtag unhackable.
Yeah.
Well,
do you think that maybe we should talk about Game of Thrones later today? I don't know. That's
sure. I wish we had a special guest with us, though.
I mean, it sounds like this is like a very, it's very cohesive. I feel like, you know,
game. It's fantasy.
Right. Trying to, you know, knives. I don't know. I think there are knives in Game of Thrones, right?
For sure.
Probably lots of passwords. Absolutely.
Poison, definitely. Passwords. And definitely weird candies.
There's probably broomsticks. They just don't fly.
Right. But definitely, I mean, there's cats. There's podcasts. Podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a logical conclusion, guys.
Excellent. Well, all right, let's do that.
We will talk about that later with maybe a special guest.
Let's jump over there now.
Okay.
Hey everyone, we are back with a very special segment. This is unheard of. This is a whole new thing. We have a special guest here. We have Molly with us. Hey Molly.
Hi guys.
There you are. I didn't even
Molly.
See.
What you doing? What's up?
I just randomly showed up in this. Oh my.
Who are you wearing, Molly?
Yeah, what are you?
Please explain this outfit to me. Just a glorious dress. The handbag is so wonderful.
Do it again, but slower this time. Molly, we've been friends forever. We've been friends for a very long time. You are Geekly's official accountant. You've been on many podcasts. What are some podcasts you've worked on?
Worked on.
Been a part of.
I am a cast member of a podcast that not many people should listen to, but it is called The Dire Weasels. No. Probably not.
Well, they're going to now.
I personally enjoy my presence on the podcast.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
That's nice. A very good one.
Yeah.
Is it about cats?
I have not.
That's the one with Sam and Veronica, right?
Yes. And recently I recorded a part for Highly Illogical, which is...
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yes.
Man, you are all over the place.
You are taking over all the podcasts and podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all those podcasts.
Molly, you've been to all the Geekly Cons. Am I guessing correctly if I say you started in Geekly World by listening to Cast of Thrones, the Game of Thrones podcast?
It's true. It was my first Geekly podcast.
Mind you, Molly. Never forget.
It was even before you started Drunks and Dragons.
Wow.
So.
Man, yeah. That's been years
Early
and years and
on.
Years.
It's true.
OG.
True so, fan.
So we thought we and two friend. That's hard to say.
So we thought we would do something that would, you know, appeal to a lot of our fans and Molly as well. Since you're a big Game of Thrones fan, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan. Bajaya is writes all of the Game of Thrones recaps for Geekly, and Sarah is also here with us.
I have seen
Game of Thrones adjacent.
I have seen an entire season, I think.
Well, there you go. That's all you need. So what
we
decided.
We're taking Sarah off the segment.
I'm gonna do great, guys. I am ready for this. I came to play.
You'll probably do the best. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna bring back our assorted personality segment, but we're going to do a twist on it. We're going to sort somebody from Game of Thrones into Harry Potter house, but then we're going to sort someone from Harry Potter into a Game of Thrones house. It's going to be crazy. It's never been done before.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You can't really choose your house in Game of Thrones. That's just like you're born and that's where you are, right?
Well, you could be, you know, a sell sword and you know, you could sell your sword to a house.
Like, what's
you
that
could,
guy? You know, Sir Jeremiah, what's his face?
Yes.
Jorah.
That guy. He's
Jorah Mormont?
Yep, that's him. Oh, Marmot. That's what I call him. The Marmot. I like his Marmot.
Well,
cute.
So he obviously was the Lord of Bear Island and was a bannerman of Ned Stark. Come on, Sarah.
Right, but then he helps Dragon Lady.
Shit.
That's true. He does. He does.
So
help
I thought he like is that not being a turncoat? I don't know.
He doesn't sell the sword. He just pledges his allegiance.
Well, it's not a turncoat, Sarah. It is a turn cloak. Thank you.
God damn it, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. People talk about turning their cloaks all the time.
But it's true. But the American Revolution, we're not going to talk about that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
so.
Definitely not.
Michael, you want to go first?
I'll go first. So we're starting by sorting a Game of Thrones person into a Harry Potter Hogwarts house. Not a Harry Potter house. That doesn't make sense. And I'm gonna go.
Wait, is there a sorting hat song that goes to like the Game of Thrones theme? That's like
we are sorting Hogwarts. Yeah.
Yes. Sorting.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. I'm gonna start. I figured I would go with somebody who could probably be sorted into a lot of different houses. I'm gonna go basic as shit and go with Tyrion Lannister.
Ooh,
oh, shit.
Fun. Okay.
Tyrion.
Definitely. What do you think you would be in though?
I'm gonna make a case that he could be sorted into any of the houses.
Yeah, but you have to choose one. Or maybe he's a hat stall. Maybe he's a hat stall.
I'm stretching this out.
Okay.
I'm just
saying, like, if it's a hat stall, then like he could go.
It could be hat stall.
Just like McGoogles.
So obviously he loves the finer things in life. He loves comfort and food and
his sister,
prostitutes
and the wine.
That's true.
And he does love wine. So you make a case for Hufflepuff, right? That's just a little case for Hufflepuff.
Sure. Yep. Cause the food. Yep.
He's a Lannister. So anyone who's a Lannister, you can argue could be a Slytherin.
That is also
right?
true.
Mm-hmm. Constantly plotting.
But he's like the Kingslayer. So, right?
No I'm doing Tyrion. This is Tyrion.
Oh, frick. This is the imp. I thought I was so happy.
You're like, I
was thinking of Jaime. I get it, guys. I got that one. Damn it. I was so sure of myself.
Pretty sure. Well, okay. And so he likes to stay up all night reading books, right?
So Ravenclaw.
That's definitely Ravenclaw. Yep, yep. He's very smart. But then he's so brave.
He led the Blackwater.
Right. Yeah, but... Okay, so one thing that you... I think if it was a hat stall, the sorting hat would be like, well, obviously, let's see what quality you possess the most. It's definitely being smart and witty, which would be Ravenclaw, and we take him. Thank you very much. I leave.
I would vote Ravenclaw as well.
Yeah. Bye.
Oh, just because of his cleverness. Very clever. Mm-hmm.
He is very clever.
See, I feel like he's kind of like the Sirius Black of his family in the way that like he is not, you know, a pure Slytherin like his sister or something like that. You know, he kind of has the Slytherin-ish qualities, but there's something about him that makes him more of like a Ravenclaw or Gryffindor. I actually, the limited amount that I know about him, I would put him in Ravenclaw as well, because he definitely uses his intelligence, because he doesn't necessarily have, you know, brute strength against brute force, branding. he doesn't have it against a lot of his enemies, so I think that he uses his wit quite a bit.
Yeah, he's brave when he needs to be, and he's cunning when he needs to be, but I think he, most of all, he's witty and
but smart. He loves being Hand of the King or Queen.
Yeah, the Hand of the King gives him, like, he gives them advice on what to do, and like strategy and stuff.
Right.
Which could be like a Slytherin thing, but I think it's more.
Right. But it's also like, isn't that, I mean, I don't know. I legitimately do not know. But is that like a strategic move to be in that position? Like, you're probably less likely to be murdered, and you probably know more inside information, right?
So isn't that a Ravenclaw quality there?
Yeah. I think it's a Ravenclaw. Well, but
that's the most power he could possibly, you know, get his hands on.
But does he want it?
Yeah, I think so. He likes it. He likes playing the game.
I think he likes it because he is smart and he likes playing the games, not necessarily because he wants that power of being Hand of the King.
All right, fine. He's a Raven.
he gets off more on being smart than being powerful.
Yeah. Also,
which I think he actually does mention. Like being powerful. Go ahead. Sorry.
He values books a lot, and he values knowledge. So that's important.
He does value knowledge. That's absolutely true. Good point, Molly. That's why we had you on.
Thank God we have you here.
Perfect.
Who wants to go next?
Why don't you go next? Since you stumped Michael. I don't know, you didn't, but
mine is going to be kind of boring.
Nope,
but I want to put Brienne of Tarth into Gryffindor.
Yay!
Heck yes.
I would also argue that maybe she could be a gruffy Hufflepuff.
I feel the limited amount that I know about her, I kind of feel like that probably is true.
She values fairness.
And she's incredibly loyal. Hufflepuffs are loyal.
I also kind of just want to claim her as a Hufflepuff because she's super cool.
And she's super strong, and she would defend you against, like, Slytherins, probably.
That's very true.
Do you think, do you think that again, this is me asking genuinely, not playing devil's advocate. Does she blindly jump into situations because she feels like she has some noble duty, or does she protect people?
Yeah. She does both, but she has gotten into situations where she's like, I have to protect my honor, this is my duty, blah, blah, blah. She has a sort of a Ned Stark quality to her also.
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll do real dumb stuff.
Okay.
That's true.
For the sake of justice and honor. Justice.
She should probably be part of, we should sort her into House Stark. But yeah. I guess that doesn't really count.
We can do it. We can do whatever we want, Molly. This is our podcast. It's our rules.
Sarah, you want to go next?
Sure.
Like, but we all agreed that Brienne is Gryffindor.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. I'm going to go. Well, I was thinking two things, because I really, like you mentioned, that Ned Stark is a Hufflepuff, and I firmly believe that he is a Hufflepuff. Like
Ned Stark?
Yeah, I think he's a Hufflepuff. He strikes me as one. But I was...
Because he's so loyal?
Because he's really loyal, and he's kind of, like, really into fairness, and, you know, he's kind of quiet and loves his family and stuff like that. So, yeah.
But he's brave as fuck.
But who I was going to choose was Sir Ladyfingers. What's his name?
Sir Ladyfingers.
Peter Baelish.
Yes,
that guy.
Peter Baelish.
The one who has the brothel. That's the guy.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorting him into Slytherin because he's real Slythery.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's so smart, though. He could definitely go into Ravenclaw.
But I agree with that completely, but I think he is so smart, but he is super duper ambitious and super creepy about it. And not that all Slytherins are horrible or bad or anything, but I think he uses his intelligence definitely not for betterment of other people, and he definitely doesn't necessarily treasure, like, as we were saying, with Tyrion, like, he treasures and values knowledge. He values it in the way that it makes him really powerful. He just does shit because he wants to be more powerful. He's creepy.
He wants the knowledge and all that to make himself go farther.
Yeah.
I was going to say, part of Slytherin is being cunning and ambitious, so he is definitely cunning.
Right.
Maybe he would be like 20% Ravenclaw and 80% Slytherin.
I feel like Slytherin's always like, there's, you know, the blanket statement of Slytherin's being evil obviously is not true. But I also think that, you know, to be a Slytherin, you have to be really smart. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that Slytherin.
What about Crabbe and Goyle?
Okay, that's later. They definitely have some sort of legacy money going into Hogwarts.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Let's be honest.
They would be the ones that are like, nobody picked you. You got to go back on the Hogwarts Express back to your house.
You can't have too many people in one house because they have limited amount of dormitories. So the Sword of Hand was like, well. These guys are going to have to go here.
I guess you're going to be in Ravenclaw. I bet there are plenty of Slytherins that are in Ravenclaw because of legacies in Slytherin.
I'm just saying, right?
Because I feel like Slytherin is the only house that would be like, yeah, we do legacies. Legacies above all.
Right?
But I think that... Oh, sorry.
No, please go.
I think that falls into Slytherin qualities in the first place, so Crabbe and Goyle, maybe they do belong in Slytherin because that's what they value. They value their family and they're very
pure blood.
They are loyal to their own, right?
Yeah. That makes so. I do think that, and we've talked about houses before, but I think that's an excellent point. Is that there's obviously what you value plays a big role, and because I don't think that they have a lot of interior life going on up there, that whatever they value is going to sort them into their house, you know? So I think that there's a lot of crossover between Ravenclaw and Slytherin in that there's the cunning part, especially for Slytherin. You have to be really intelligent. You have to be really smart. And it's just kind of where your value of that intelligence lies. And then I think with Hufflepuff and Gryffindor, it's kind of like there's a loyalty there. And then there's the, you know, where do you fall in that? Is it about fairness and about, like, thoughtfulness? Or is it about action and defensive, you know, kind of thing? So I think that there's kind of, I mean, obviously they all have qualities of one another, but.
Overlap.
Yeah, but I think that maybe that's
what happens. I see that.
Yeah. Are you ready for mine?
Sure ready. I am.
I am sorting Bronn, Lord of the Blackwater.
Is that Tiny Tim?
What?
Wait,
I don't know.
Who are you sorting?
Bronn.
Oh, Bronn.
Oh, I was thinking
Ron. I thought you said Ron.
Oh, not Ron. Sorry. Bronn.
Gryffindor.
No, so I think Bronn could be Gryffindor. I think he could also be Slytherin and a little bit of Ravenclaw, but not a whole lot of Ravenclaw because obviously he's brave, he's strong, he obviously, like, champion, but there's also cunning and ambition in him because he obviously chose to become Tyrion's champion because he knew that if he knew he could defeat that dude, and if he did defeat him, a Lannister would get him to a higher place than where he was as a sellsword. And then he keeps climbing the ranks to eventually become Lord of Blackwater and, you know.
Yeah, I would have to say I would have to lean Slytherin with him because there's definitely times where he was like, not enough money, not going to help you.
Or, I mean, he like told Tyrion that, you know, if you can't give me money, there's going to be other people that can. Like, why should I stay with you? And Tyrion's like, well, money. And he's like, well, there are other people. Maybe that, what if other people can get me more money?
Right. So.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, it would definitely be between Gryffindor and Slytherin, but I think Slytherin edges out.
I agree.
Wait, what's his name? Bronn?
Bronn.
Okay, I was getting him confused with Tiny Tim. Bran Muffin.
Bran. I see why you're calling him Tiny Tim.
Yeah, there's Tiny Tim and there's Tinier Tim. There's two different ones.
Who's the Tinier Tim?
The brother of Tiny Tim.
Oh, Rickon.
Yeah, that guy.
Rickon. No one remembers Rickon.
I remember that there was a little one and a littler one, but they looked very similar. I think the little one, I think Bran Muffin there, I think he's a Gryffindor. That's my feeling.
Yeah. You can see that.
Yeah. All right, well, you want to sort some Harry Potter characters into Game of Thrones houses?
Yeah, I really liked this one. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go reverse order this time.
Yeah. Reverse.
So now Bajaya has to go again.
Ah, shit. I am sorting two at the same time. And I'm sorting Crab and Goyle into House Frey as Walder and Waldor.
Stellar and Waldorf?
Because obviously they're like not smart enough to do stuff on their own. Not that I'm saying they're Freys aren't like the strongest bunch, but they always hitch their ride with a stronger and bigger and maybe richer people. And that's what the Freys did. And Crab and Goyle, they're like Walder and Walder. Urf. Walder and
I think
Walder.
That's a good sorting.
Thanks.
You mean like Big Walder and Little Walder?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to call them Walder and Waldorf.
Okay, you do that then.
Because Big Walder was little and Little Walder was big. And they're both big.
Oh, is that like, is the opposite?
Yeah.
Kind of like mafia nicknames.
Yeah.
I got it.
Sounds good.
Sarah.
Oh, God, I have to go next. Okay. Based on my incredibly, incredibly deep knowledge of Game of Thrones, I'm going to sort Hermione into House Tyrell? It's the one that Natalie Dormer's in. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like Marjorie. I feel like they're like all about strong, smart women. That's what I get from Tumblr, at least. And so I feel like...
I like that you did your research on Tumblr. That's perfect.
Perfect. Sorry, you froze. But yeah, I like Tumblr informs all of my Game of Thrones knowledge, essentially beyond season one. But I don't know. I just feel like they're a bunch of like smart ladies who maybe she's not very, you know, I don't know if devious is the right word or power hungry, but I think that there's a knowledge and
they make plays.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe she could be in there. I don't know. What do you think? Where do you think Hermione would be?
I had trouble with Hermione, but I like the Tyrell sorting. The only other place I could think is like in with the Tarths, because Brienne, like her father, let her do whatever, or not let her, but you know.
I was gonna say. I like the Mormonts too, because they're like,
oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. They let ladies rule there, be like ladies and lords of the house.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's where Sir Jeremiah, leave. Sir
Jorah,
Sir Jorah. I don't know, Sir J.
I think
Sir
we need
J.
to make a compilation of all of Sarah's names. But like, make her watch all the seasons and then.
There's oh my god! I got a lot, guys. Catwoman, that's the wife of Edward Catwoman. There. Nedward.
So I think Hermione would be good at Tyrell or Mormont or Tarth.
Just where like kick-ass ladies live. Yeah, I like it. Cool.
I like it.
I think it's Molly's turn. Please go, Molly. God, please.
I really like this one a lot, and I want to put Draco into Targaryen because they're so obsessed with their blood.
It's true.
Their blood, his hair's the right color and everything.
True. It's like perfect. His eyes were violet.
That's true.
Yeah, that does fit in a lot of ways. He's like Daenerys' asshole, the brother.
Yes. Oh, he's the one who got the gold. He's the one that got the gold poured on his head, right?
Indeed.
Yeah.
That was bonkers. That was bonkers, guys. That was pretty cool.
Viserion? No, is that her? Is that her dragon's name? Oh, Viserion.
She named it after her brother.
That's weird.
Well, he was already dead. So.
Right, but he was kind of like weirdly like, you know, there's kind of
dickish.
A...
dickish.
But also there was some weird incesty vibes going on there. I didn't like it.
Oh, it's not vibes.
it was
literal. Actual literal stuff. Yes. I don't remember. I think maybe I blocked it out at this point.
The Targaryens definitely marry their brothers and sisters.
Gotta keep that blood real.
Real pure. And hemophiliac.
I mean, you know.
They're also McPoyles.
Gotta have some milk.
I thought about Malfoy earlier today, and I was like, I just remembered the part of Harry and Ron rescuing him from the room of requirement after they fucking blew it up. And then as soon as he gets downstairs, Malfoy is like, I'm one of you. And Harry just fucking punches him in his face, or Ron does. And it's like, where would this fit him? But I didn't come up with a house.
Where would who fit who?
In the Game of Thrones.
Oh. Houses. Mm. I cannot tell you.
Well, I like Targaryen. I think that's good.
Yeah. I think it's great.
Solid pick. All right, is it me?
It's you, Michael.
It's you. It's always you.
All right. I'm going to go with Neville Longbottom.
Yay! Oh, Neville, I want to hear.
Can you guess where I'm going with Neville?
Is he a star?
I can. Put him in the right place.
Yeah.
I'm putting him in House Tarly.
What is Tarly?
Oh, that's good. Aww. That's good.
Tarlys are gnarly.
Just like Samwell. He's just like Samwell Tarly.
Oh, and that's the guy with John hanging up at the wall. Drinks,
yeah.
That he drinks some rum milk out of the boob.
True story. That guy who plays Sam there or whatever, Sam Gamgee, part two, he looks exactly like my friend Mike, and it is really eerie.
That is eerie.
Hi, Mike.
Sorry. Hi, Mike.
I actually wrote down Neville, too, and I put him in Tyrell.
Oh!
Well, but, like, his grandmother is, like, really overbearing and totally a jerk, just like Sam's parents. And she's always disappointed in him, just like Sam's
parents.
That's
true.
But she's not like, a dick like his parents, though.
Yeah. She's kind of a dick.
They never, like, took him out in the forest and says, oh, you're going to fucking fall off the roof.
Okay, well, this is the difference between Harry Potter and Game of Thrones.
Wait, there's a difference?
Infanticide going on in Harry Potter.
Wait,
I don't know. They freaking leave a child on the doorstep of these, like, crazy freaks who aren't going to take care of it. He could have died overnight. I don't know. There's no bears left in England, but there's chavs who could have taken him. I don't know.
There's no infanticide, but there's attempted because Voldemort did try to kill Harry Potter. That's the beginning of the book.
That is the entire story, Michael.
Yeah. But there's a... Okay. You know what I'm saying. You understand where I'm going with this. Also, they're both chubby.
Oh.
Have you seen Neville lately?
I was going to say, does Sam get real hot?
Not yet.
I'm talking about the books. Not the movies,
where does it say that Neville does not get really sexy in the books? It does not.
They constantly talk about him still having like a round face and blah, blah, blah.
Are you saying that's a bad thing, Michael?
She means he's chubby.
I don't know.
I don't know where I would put Neville. I would put Neville in like a nicer house than... Well, I mean, I guess in the show, the rest of the Tarleys are pretty nice. Except the dad's real douchey, but the sister and the mom are nice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not trying to give them good lives in the Game of Thrones world, are
we? I am, because Neville is... Damn it.
But actually, I was thinking, that's how Neville realized he was magical. His uncle... He threw him off the roof.
Yeah. No, he didn't throw him off the roof on purpose.
He was dangling.
He accidentally dangled him. And
his aunt offered his uncle like pie or something, and he let go.
Like you do.
Like that has never happened to you, Molly. Come on.
I mean, I told you about that time I was in the British emergency room with that guy who had been punched by his friend because I couldn't tell why, but his friend was there. But he just kept yelling about how he wanted a Mars bar. So this feels very related.
I'm trying to think. I was really trying to sort someone, like, the whole time after I got home from work, I was really trying to sort someone into House Bolton. And I think the closest I came to was, like, Yaxley or the Karos.
What about Fenrir Greyback or something?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, Fenrir Greyback would be perfect.
Because Bolton is like the guy who's like super crazy and like strips skin and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Right. Although maybe it would be, what's that weird island where they're cannibals?
Oh, Skagos. Wait, isn't it Skagos?
I think it's Skagos. That you could put him in there.
That would be great. Man, this could be
a wilding.
I wanted my honorable mention to be Luna into the Children of the Forest.
Oh, that's so good.
I didn't even think about them.
I don't know what are the children of the forest. Tell me.
They're not in season one, unfortunately.
I know, because I don't know them at all.
They're magical beings that live in trees.
Oh, I like that.
It's good. Yeah.
I did see there were small children in the last episode I saw, which I think was the finale of the most recent season. So, spoiler alert, I saw that. But
they're not children. They're ancient.
They're called like the baby sparrows or something, right?
The children of the forest.
I think she's talking about the actual sparrows.
There were tiny children.
The little birds.
Yeah, little birds. That's right. Baby sparrows, yeah. Little birds. It's just close.
Those are just spies.
Oh, well, they're small children who are named after birds. It seemed fine.
All right. Well, I feel like this is our longest segment in the history of
But it was really fun. I had fun.
I could keep going.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hot pie. He goes into Hufflepuff.
That's true.
Who goes in Hufflepuff?
Hot pie.
Oh, that's good.
Is that someone's name? Who? Do they make pies?
Yes. He sells hot pies.
You know who is in Gryffindor in the hot category is Gendry.
I like it, yeah.
Where's Jon Snow in all this? He's pretty sad.
Shirtless.
He's shirtless in a house somewhere.
He's probably got to be Gryffindor.
Gryffindor probably just sitting up in the astronomy tower, sure. I mean, writing sad poetry. You know, I don't know.
He has the physical trait of coming back to life.
he's actually in Dumbledore's office in a cage right now, guys.
All right. Well,
thanks, Molly.
Thank you very
so
much,
fun.
Thanks,
Molly.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry.
Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at thriftynerd.
I'm Bajaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at ethnicninja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at herladytompkins.
Editing help this week by Alan Matthews. Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.